Welcome, friends. I'm your host, Annette Weiser, and with me today is Mike Naur. He is a renowned theatrical director, and he is going to be staging a radio version of A Christmas Carol that harkens back to, I believe, 1951. Is that right, Mike?
No, it's earlier than that. It was either 1940 or 1942. Not absolutely sure which.
Well, we're just delighted to welcome you here. And the fact is that live radio theater was a staple of national radio broadcasting for decades. And I know it's the 100th anniversary in the St. Pete City Theater. Tell us a little bit about this production and what the audience can expect.
Okay. Well, as I said, it's based on a real live broadcast that took place in the 40s. And this one, our version, is set in 1942. And it's set in a radio studio and it involves 16 people, a cast of 16 who play characters who actually were involved in the broadcast back in the 1940s. That is, so far as they have the same Christian name, but obviously we can't exactly imitate the people who were doing the broadcast back then. So essentially this play begins with in the radio studio with the broadcasting manager and his assistant. And then the director comes on board. He's he's the leader of the group. He's actually British. He was an ex-Royal Marine. And then as the play develops, so other characters come on board, and there's a lot of interaction between them. And of course, being wartime, there's a discussion about what's going on in the war. They then lead in to actually broadcast the Christmas Carol. We have a narrator, which is played by my wife, Sarah, and then various other members of the cast place various other members of A Christmas Carol, taking it in turns to take over the mic to deliver their piece.
Have you done a radio play like this before?
Not exactly like this. Last year we did something similar in the little studio theatre in the foyer that they have at St. Pete City Theatre, which was only with seven actors. But it was a similar concept, but without actually using a radio studio as a background.
And have you directed the Christmas Carol before? Is that something that you've done?
No, because normally I'm over here in the winter, rather than back in the UK, which is where I do most of my directing. So this is the first opportunity I've had to do it.
Well, I want to do a little backstory on you before we go through some of the actors and actresses who will be performing. Tell us a little bit about your journey into theater and what you would like our audience to know.
All right. Well, I think the first appearance I can remember was as a page boy in a nativity play that they did at our local church. I then did a bit at school, mainly Gilbert and Sullivan, and then did nothing for a while until a friend of mine who was appearing in a school production. He was a schoolmaster and the whole school was doing a version of Oliver. And he was playing Mr. Bumble, and I was helping him learn his lines, and I discovered I'd learned his lines better than he did. And another friend of ours at the time was involved in British pantomime, and I got a small part in that, got a favorable review, and never looked back.
Wonderful. And tell us some of what you've been doing over in the UK in the last few years.
In the last few years, I did a production of Breaking the Code, which is about Alan Turing, the famous code breaker. Directed that. Prior to that, I was in a comedy play called, God, I can't remember what it's called now. It's about a bunch of fish processing ladies working in a fish processing factory who decide to go to the races when Royal Ascot, which is a famous race course in the UK, was closed. So the Ascot Ladies' Day was transferred up the north of the country, and these ladies decided to go and go and attend the races. And I was the husband of one of the characters. Prior to that, God, it's hard to remember. Yes, I do. Well, I actually directed Breaking the Code twice in the UK, once in London and once down in the South Coast there.
And your wife is an actress as well. How did the two of you meet?
Through amateur drama. It was a classic thing of two people appearing in a play together. I had to kill her, I seem to remember, and took her body off stage.
Sort of knives out, right?
Took her body off stage, and we both fell into the onto the stairs, which were leading up to the top of the stage. So that was the sort of love at first bounce, you might say. and yes, yeah, she's actually a better actor than I am, but she doesn't think she is. She was last year. Where are we? She was on in at the Op Central Players in February this year, in a play whose name I can't remember. And then the previous year, she was played Margaret Thatcher at the Op Central.
Oh yes, play, that was wonderful.
Which I directed and she was in, and I thought she was brilliant.
That was a brilliant play. I know that you were involved with Gulfport Community Theater at one point. I think that's what Bill DeYoung told me. I think you met Bill and David there. Tell me a little bit about
that. Well, Bill was in one of the versions of Breaking the Code, or rather the Breaking the Code that I did here in Gulfport. He was a policeman from Manchester, up north in the UK. And then the next production I did with them was... God, I can't remember the name of it. It was a detective thriller, and David played the villain. So that's how we met David. We actually did know David from the radio theatre project, which takes place in Studio 620 once a month, which is a lot of fun if you haven't been to see that.
Oh, I happen to see it. And are
Bill,
you one?
Bill is in that as well. Bill,
right, and Paul Wilborn occasionally stops in on that. And
Paul plays the piano every week, every time, like yesterday, and sings a little ditty usually as well. Yeah.
Michael,
yeah,
what brought you to St. Petersburg, and what do you like about this community, and how is the theater scene here changed?
Well, let's see. I started coming to Florida in a previous marriage, bringing my children over. In fact, going right back, I came to Florida in 1977 on business, came to Miami. The guy that was reporting to me had a much better lifestyle than I did, and I thought I quite liked the look of that. Anyway, long story short, I eventually came over, as I say, with my kids to Disney several times and thought that's a nice place to retire over the winter, and that's more or less what I did. We bought our first condo back in 2007, and then we bought our first house in 2010, and we now live in Gulfport, having lived here for a couple of years now. As to the theatrical scene, well, it's from where we're sitting, it's changed quite a bit. The community theatre hasn't changed very much. Not that we go to see a lot now, because I can't drive anymore, so it's more difficult to go places at night. But some of the professional theatres, we think, have very much changed their diet. One of the first things we saw at Freefall, for example, was a tremendous version of Midsummer Night's Dream. And having previously seen Midsummer Night's Dream just before we left the UK at the National Theatre, I can tell you that the Freefall version compared very favourably. But they seem to have gone away from that now. Now, whether that's money or what, I don't know. I mean, everybody says, as the state's withdrawn its support, that times are more difficult for professional theatres, and I'm sure that's true. But in general, generally speaking, I think the diet that both they and American Stage present is not quite what it was 10 years ago, in terms of the type of production that they stage.
What is the role of community theater in our community? And you know, I'm very impressed, by the way, by Off Central, and they seem to really tackle quite a few things. But you've been in now Gulfport Community Theater and, of course, the St. Pete City Theater.
Yeah.
What is their contribution that is so important. We're community radio, so we like to think that we have a lot in common with community theater.
Right. Well, I would say it's a bunch of people getting together to enjoy themselves, but also to bring something to the community, to use the Vogue phrase, to tell a story to the community, which is not just sitting in front of the telly, you know? It's real live theatre. And when you as a team of actors or with the backstage people as well, when you achieve that result and people applaud, you know you've done a good job and you know that you've brought something to the community.
Absolutely. So the play runs, am I correct, December 12th through the 21st, is that right?
That's correct, yeah.
And I think there's a big gala event on the 12th. Is that right? I think I just saw that on the Facebook.
Yeah, I just saw it on Facebook myself as well.
We're all looking at the same thing.
Yeah, celebration of the 100th anniversary of the company. And I was totally unaware of this. I'm not actually involved on the board or anything, so I wouldn't necessarily know. But there's some sort of presentation of various skits and acting and so on, I believe, and then a little bit of grub and some free booze. So
and the Christmas Carol, which would be just, how fun is that? So I'm going to make sure that we tell our listeners about that. Tell me a little bit about the St. Pete City Theater and how you got involved with them.
Well, as I probably implied, Sarah and I the major part of our life is theatre, both doing it and going to see it. And so when we came over, started living over here, I'm just trying to think when we started coming for the winter, but prior to that we were coming because I was still working, we were coming when we could. But then we started coming over for the whole winter, and at that point we were able to get involved. Prior to that we couldn't. And the first thing we did was with City Theatre, which was an Agatha Christie play called Black Coffee, where to start with I was the corpse. So I got off at the end of Act One. But then unfortunately the guy that was playing Poirot had to drop out at the last minute, so I took over and played Hercule Poirot. And that was that one. And then shortly after that, they staged their first for a while anyway, Christmas Carol. And we were both in that, and I played Nasty Old Scrooge.
Well, that's going to be fun for Bill DeYoung to have to perform that. Yeah, I didn't realize the bar was that high, Michael.
Big shoes to follow, eh?
Absolutely.
He's doing very well, so... I think the thing about a part like Scrooge is that every actor brings their own thing, own interpretation to it. It's not just a cardboard cutout character. You bring your own stuff along with it. And being British helps, of course.
Yes, being British helps. I think that. So, do you have a favorite Christmas Carol version? Is it the one with Sims, or is it something else?
I think my favourite is the one that I was in, actually, the main stage production I was in. That was adapted by a guy called David Middleton, you've probably heard of him, and from the original Dickens story, and I thought he made a very good job of it. Not that anybody else has not made a very good job of it, because it's such a great story. It's really quite difficult to muck it up, isn't it? But... that was my favourite version, but I probably said that because I was Scrooge in that one.
I love that. I love that. So I love the fact. Let's talk a little bit about the actors. I'm just going to run down the list to just mention all of their names, and if you have something special to say, you could share that with me. So we know that David Warner. We've gotten some quotes from him, formerly, of course, editor in chief of Creative Loafing, well known in this town, and we've talked to Bill. What about Donald Spears? What do we need to know about him?
This is the first time I've worked with Donald. He's a good actor. Let me say everybody in the cast is actually pulling their weight and doing well. And Don has worked hard at his part. Yeah. He's
Very good. And he plays George Bartlett, who is also Bob Cratchit and Fezziwig. I have to tell you, in San Diego, Michael from Seinfeld was Bob Cratchit, and Whoopi Goldberg was Tiny Tim in the San Diego Rep production. So I always have to laugh whenever I see A Christmas Carol. Let's go on to Aaron Brey and tell us about him.
Aaron, he's playing again multiple parts. He's a good actor as well. I think he's actually professional. You'd have to ask him, but I think he might well be a professional.
Lovely. And then we have Ellie Stone.
I have to tell you, most of these people are completely most of them are new to me. I've not worked with any of them before, but not all of them before. I'll come to the ones I have worked with before. Ellie's delightful. She's relishing in her character, and she's got a lovely voice as well.
Wonderful. We've got Richard Isaacs, who plays a young Scrooge.
Richard did us a favor. He's on the board of City Theatre, and we were short one man, so he stepped in for us, and he's doing okay.
Isn't that lovely? And then Nathaniel Beaver.
Nathaniel, he's doing the Foley mainly, and how can I put it? He's very, very enthusiastic. It's going to be great. The Foley is going to be really good.
Very fun. Stan Gurvitz.
Stan, I've worked with before. In fact, he was in Black Coffee when we were in our first play, and he was also in the Christmas Carol that we did in the foyer last year. So, yeah, he's an accomplished guy. He's done a lot.
And we'll let Sarah speak for herself when she comes on air in a few minutes. And we've got Velvet Cossier, the charwoman. Let me just go ahead and read through the rest of these. Laura Banks, Miranda Reyes, Samantha Lee, Erin Kennedy, Lorelai McGarry, Clark Kennedy, and Clifton Kennedy. Lots of kids, lots of bigger children under the ghost of Christmas present. I do want to ask you, it seems to me that A Christmas Carol's moral message shines brighter now than ever before. Tell me what you think you'd like people to take away from this play as a message.
Well, it comes down to this. You see this a lot around Gulfport. It's be kind. Kindness pays. Think of other people. Don't just think of yourself. It's that sort of message.
I think that that's loud and clear. And so I want to also ask you, if you could play any other character, any of the ghosts, past, present, or future, which one would you like to do?
Which ghost? Well, I don't think I want to be Future because he's really nasty.
He's frightening.
Yes. So I think I probably want to be Present because he's jolly. Maybe I'm not quite fat enough, but he's a very jolly character.
Well, what would you, as the ghost of Christmas present, tell yourself in the past?
What would I, as the ghost of Christmas present? Oh, I don't know. That's a hard one. I don't know. I have a few regrets in my life, like everybody else, but and which I've going back, if I was going back again, I would change, but I don't think I really want to talk about that.
But overall theater, but overall the love of theater has seen you through everything, hasn't it?
It has indeed, yes.
So for people who have not yet discovered A Christmas Carol, what will you say to our listeners about why they should join you for this unique version that celebrates both the original production at the St. Pete City Theater, better known previously as the Little Theater? What would you tell people is the reason they should come to this show?
It's going to be good. I mean, if you don't know the story of Christmas Carol, then I think you will enjoy it even more because it's such a lovely story. And I think our production is going to be up there with most of the others.
Well, we can't wait. We want to thank you. And if you wouldn't mind putting Sarah on now, and Michael, I'll get this to you. I'll get you a copy of this.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. Let me just go and find her. Sarah.
Hello. Hello, Sarah. Nanette Weiser, we're going to pick up this conversation. Let me just make a note on the time. So, Sarah, you are starring in A Christmas Carol. Tell us a little bit about your role in this lovely radio theater production?
Okay, so Mike's already explained the radio that we're playing kind of two lots of people. So we're playing, okay, so in the real people, I'm playing somebody called Barbara San, who was probably 40 years younger than I am, so we're pretending. But she had, so I'm doing a bit of research. There's quite a lot of information. Stephanie Lehman, the chairman of St. Pete City Theatre, has done a lot of background research and is just pouring us with information on the background of the characters and photographs of them, which is really helpful. So Barbara had come from, I think she was at college in North Carolina, and where she did I think it was like a drama degree or something, and she was doing some work in radio as well. And then she had come to St. Pete, and she actually works at the radio studio.
So at WSUM.
Yes, yes.
Oh, interesting.
I think she was one of the presenters there. I'm presuming she was American, so obviously I'm playing her English because I can't do an American accent. She's sort of part of the. I heard you talking about Don, who's playing George, who's the guy who sort of runs the radio studio. So at the beginning, Barbara and George are setting up the radio studio for the performance. And then in the performance of A Christmas Carol, I'm playing the narrator, which is similar. I did the narrator last year when we did it in the foyer. So it's not unfamiliar to me.
So Christmas Carol, what is your favorite Christmas Carol movie or play that you've seen? Your favorite Scrooge, pretty much.
I'd struggle with my favorite. I'd have to say Mike, because he wouldn't speak to me again if I didn't.
good answer.
But actually, the production I really liked, they did a steampunk version a few years ago, and I thought that was great because visually it was really, really spectacular.
I would have loved to see that.
Yeah, it was very cool.
Sarah, tell us a little bit. I had the pleasure of seeing you as Margaret Thatcher in the play that Michael directed. Tell us a little bit about some of your favorite theater moments. You've been doing this a long time.
30-odd years, I think. Most people do something at school. So I remember doing at primary school. I was quite tall, so I was the Angel Gabriel. In the regular nativity, and I also remember being I think it was something like called Tales of Mother Goose or Tales from Mother Goose, and I was the little girl. I was almost like a narrator. I think I was a little girl reading the story, and then the characters from Mother Goose came through. But I seem to remember forgetting my first line and crying. So that hasn't happened for quite a long time. And then, yes, I did all sorts of stuff at community theatre, both in the UK. And then again, I think Mike said, when we started coming over here full time, the first production we did was with City Theatre, and that was an Agatha Christie. And then did the Christmas Carol in 2000, and that was 2016. I played Mrs. Bilber, who was just like the housekeeper then. And then I've done some odd bits over here. We've moved around a bit because we moved in the UK. We moved to London, and we were in London for about 6 years. We were involved about three groups there, so we did some interesting things there. And then we moved down to the South Coast, which is where we are now in Rye. So we've done a few things down there. And that's actually where the Margaret Thatcher thing came from, because it was a local group in Hastings that were doing that production. And I auditioned and got the role. And then we were talking to the guy who was then running Off Central, who we sort of got to know a bit when Bill, you know Bill, don't you, Bill DeYoung?
Yes, Bill DeYoung, yes. Yeah. He's with us on the radio station, yes.
Okay, so when Bill did his play Skyway, he wrote a play of his book, and he produced that at Off Central, and we went there, and then we were talking because it was quite new then. And then when it was a different director that did Whiskey and Soda in the UK, and we talked to Off Central and said, this play would go great here. And we were surprised how well it translated, because there's a lot of very English stuff in there. And because we know the writer in the UK, we sat down with him and he changed bits and pieces. So things were very obviously English. And we had a table read and with some Americans who said, don't know what that means, don't know who that is. And so we changed those bits for an American audience. And it was just incredibly popular. It was amazing how enthused people were by the piece. So, yeah, that was a lot of fun. That was probably one of the favourite things I've done over the last few years. And then I did, earlier on this year, I did another production with them called Morning After Grace, which was, again, a really nice play. And that was a lot of fun.
What role is in your encore future that you've always wanted to play, Sarah?
Oh, that's difficult. See, I don't really want to do these classic roles everybody else does. You know, these older, you know, these ones that, I don't know, I've forgotten the name now, Lady Bracknell or those kind of things. I don't think I have a particular role. I just like to be involved in a sort of a group of, you know, competent, enthusiastic people that are doing it for, you know, to do the best job they can and give the audience the best experience they can. And obviously, it's got a bigger play.
So I want to ask you about, I am asking everybody, I asked David, I asked Bill, what is it about A Christmas Carol that seems very contemporary in its moral message to the audience?
It's a difficult one, isn't it? Because it's such an old play, but it's still so popular. I mean, I think David's writing a piece because there's three groups doing it locally here. And in the UK, I don't know, two of the big London theatres are doing it time and time again. It's on the Old Vic again. I think it's just because it's a story of, and then the word has totally escaped me. It's a kind of, I guess it's somebody looking at the wrongs they have done and turning a new leaf and deciding to be a better person. And that's just a great moral, you know, do unto others, you know, as you would have done unto you, or whatever the phrase is.
Well, I cannot wait. Folks, if you've just joined me, I've been talking to the director, Michael Naur, his wife, Sarah Naur. They are going to be in A Christmas Carol at the St. Pete City Theater, celebrating 100 years. We want to thank you, Sarah, for coming on air with us at Radio St. Pete. The play runs December 12th through the 21st. December 12th is also a celebration and homage to the theater celebrating 100 years. Thank you, Sarah, for being with us at Radio St. Pete.
Thank you for having us, Lynette.
Bye-bye now.
Bye.